For me, it's not all one size fits all. That approach doesn't really work. So I'm definitely sitting right on the fence there with that one.
From your point of view, is print still relevant?
That is probably one of the biggest hurdles that we have to overcome. That's really what our job is to do, is to put it in front of as many people as possible.
Welcome to the New Homes podcast. In this episode, I speak with Paul Vincent, New Homes Director of Fox & Son Southern Division, about the role of estate agents in today's market. We discuss, do properties really sell themselves once listed online? The changes to the industry over the past 20 years, including the shift towards digital platforms, adopting emerging technologies like AI, and the necessity for effective communication and customer service. We hope you enjoy the conversation, and if you'd like to hear more about the sales and marketing of new homes, don't forget to hit subscribe. So Paul, stick it on Rightmove and it'll sell itself. So I hear this time and time again from house builders, as I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Tell me from your experience why this isn't the case.
So there's loads of examples on a weekly basis that we deal with across the whole of the South. I just happened to be copied into an email from one of our branches last week, which really, I suppose, really answers this in itself. And it's from a customer, it's a customer testimonial. And the customer had said that they would have never bought a new home had the individual in this particular branch actually introduced them initially. So, and that's just one of many, many examples. And it's a bit like, you know, there's sometimes we you know, you've got agents that would just put stuff online and just wait, and almost that wait for the phone to ring. Well, the good agents, and we still do it, and we still have it in our offices. Not only do we have the tech and, you know, the computer support that will link that customer to that particular property, but if you go into any of our offices, they've still got applicant boxes sitting there. So a new property comes on the market, same as we did 20 years ago. Mm. And they pick up their applicant box and, you know, they call out and speak to Mr. and Mrs. Jones. So yeah, that would be my first thing I'd say on that. And the second thing, I'll always touch on this as a personal one, but when we moved house time before last, we moved to a place in Leon Solent, which was a bit further out than my wife necessarily wanted to have a look. And actually, it took me 4 weeks, ashamedly, it took me 4 weeks to get her, convince her to go and view this house. And then in the end, we did end up actually going to view that property and actually ended up buying something that initially, you know, was out of the area that necessarily we wanted to look. But it took an estate agent to be able to do that, to actually say, I know that's what you say you want, but actually, with experience, this is what I think would be better for you, and almost give that sort of red herring of, why don't you give it a try and see what you think? And she viewed it and immediately fell in love with it.
So you mentioned that applicant box.
Yeah.
How have you seen estate agents change over the last 20 years or so?
So I would say a lot of those applicant boxes have disappeared, and there's a lot more, I suppose there's a lot more reliance on things like Rightmove, Zoopla, New Homeset, all of those different platforms. But it's all good and well having those, and all of the branches no doubt have them, but it's what you then do with that data. So what you then do with that customer and that customer journey, really. If I think back to 20 years ago when I did first start, we used to get really, really excited to come in on a Thursday morning. And Thursday morning was the property paper. So you used to get all the great new, the phones would be absolutely buzzing. So that Thursday morning, now there isn't necessarily one. It's almost every day. So we've got some clever tech in the background that will link with customers and be able to communicate with them faster. And that's probably one of the main things that I've noticed that's changed, is actually that the communication, the customer service piece just needs to be so much sharper. And there is an expectation as well, where it's easier to speak to people, get hold of people now. There's an expectation that actually, if it is a customer reaching out to you, that you get back to them that much quicker.
So the standard approach for many house builders typically is to either stick it on the website, stick the signage up, maybe put it on Rightmove, and deal with the sales themselves. Tell me from your point of view, from an estate agent's point of view, why should house builders consider using estate agents instead or as well as?
Yeah, so we deal with a lot of house builders, from people looking to build one or two units to multiple customers that we work directly with that, you know, we're selling 100 plus units across different schemes. And if I'm meeting a house builder for the first time, and they say, you know, what is it you do? And it's more, what is it you want us to do? So I've got some that essentially we will put it on Rightmove, we'll arrange the viewings, and then we'll pass those appointments over to the people on site. And then we've got others that we will arrange events for, so open house events for local people, where it doesn't necessarily generate us any sales, but just helps with their exposure through to plenty that we also put our team in. So we'll have a member of our team in there that will be branded with whatever that particular house builder is. So for me, it's not all one size fits all. That approach doesn't really work. You have to be really flexible. And if I think of some of the launch events that we go to, it's very much, you know, get lots of people there. It's a really, really, you know, with those launches, a really busy day. So you'll quite often see our team there, not necessarily always speaking to customers, but the prep before that. And that might be, you know, sweeping the drive because there's leaves on it. You just get involved with you think is the right thing to do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Excellent. So in such a competitive market, what makes a good estate agent and how should a house builder choose who to list with?
So it is really difficult because on the face of it, it looks like you could argue everyone offers the same. But for me, it's really, really important. It's about the relationship. It's about honesty and integrity and working both ways. So, you know, if something doesn't look right, if the customer that we deal with feels something doesn't look right, it's really important that we know about that as well. And that's probably where we've built over the past few years some really, really strong relationships and why we're seeing a significant increase in the number of house builders coming with us as well. And like I say, that could be from a two unit scheme, so some of your smaller house builders, all the way through to, like I mentioned, the 100 plus unit schemes as well. And it's very easy for me to show that. Anyone can say they can do these things and say how brilliant they are, but actually it's more in the actions, and that's why we end up getting these sort of retained customers coming back over time and time again, because they know what they're going to get. Mm. With us, they'll get a tier of new homes managers that will look after the site, be able to report on sales data, which obviously is valuable, through to the most important, the branch network, because they're the guys calling out, booking the view-ins, getting people through the door and tying up the sales, which is ultimately what they want.
And how do you think the sort of self-employed agent model obviously is emerging and becoming more popular?
Yeah.
What would you say the major differences are between, you know, an organisation like Sequence Group, Fox and Sons, and these self-employed agents? Like, why should you list with a...
Yeah, so first I think it's important to say that I think there is room for both. And we've seen all sorts of online agents come and go, and that proposition being tried and obviously is still in place to this day. The substantial difference between is, in my view, really obvious. So if you've got a self-employed agent, you've got one person working on all of those, whereas we've got the benefit of, just in my team alone, there's eight people that work directly with me. And then I look after, from a new host perspective, 50 offices on the south. So those 50 offices are just full with team members that essentially will be doing the same thing and supporting that site to get that site sold. So that's probably the biggest difference, I'd say.
So how do you feel house builders could be making better use of estate agents?
Firstly, I'd say to give it a go, because there's some that just have a zero approach on it and just say, no, we don't use. But there isn't any, there then to no rationale to why that is the case. So firstly, it would say at least give estate agents an opportunity to show how they can add value and how we can absorb some of those costs. So if I think of some of the schemes we have where we cover Rightmove, Zoopla, all those sorts of costs, social media, advertising, email campaigns, videography, all that type of thing. So, and I think it's almost like those things are necessarily forgotten about. So all I'd ask people is to essentially give us an opportunity to show you what we can do, and then give us an opportunity to prove to you what added value we can do as well. So it doesn't necessarily need to be a massive expense on top of your marketing budget. We can absorb some of those costs.
And I think that's quite interesting, because I know a lot of house builders are nervous about losing control over the marketing, but then as a result shoot themselves in the foot with the sales, because they can't afford the budget for agent fees and to spend the kind of money they want to on marketing.
Yeah.
I guess there's a solution, which is bringing the two together, either through an agent or negotiating a deal where it stacks up.
Yeah, and this is what, come back to the not one size fits all. There'll be some that want to control their social media, and there'll be others that say just go with it. So, and you know, we've got brand guidelines as well, of course, like all companies will have. So in terms of the marketing, for example, putting something on Rightmove, we'd always get that approved by the client anyway, just in case they didn't like the wording, or, you know, they prefer that picture over that picture. So, and it was the same as if you're selling a single house, you do exactly the same and actually check that you're happy with the wording before it goes live. So that actually, you touch on that sort of fear of losing that control. And that is probably one of the biggest hurdles that we have to overcome after we've got the opportunity to then say, look, use us. That's why it's easier to show that, because very quickly they'll be able to see, actually, Paul's asking a lot of questions here. And that's just so we get it right first time.
Yeah, what's fascinating at the moment is I'm getting quite a lot of people speak to me, house builders who do list directly with Rightmove, and just the eye-watering cost for developers, per development for Rightmove. And it's, in some cases, it probably actually stacks up cheaper to use an agent over going down that route in the first place.
And I have seen that particularly over the past 6 to 9 months. I feel like we're in a different market to what we were 6 to 9 months ago. But when it was that bit more challenging, actually, it made perfect sense to do that as well. And actually, what it's given me an opportunity, that market from 6 to 9 months ago, is actually show this is what we can do. This is what we're about. This is our people and what we can bring to the table. And we've retained those customers that joined us back then as well, which is great.
So how, from your point of view, have buyer behaviours changed? And as an estate agent, what marketing tools are you finding buyers now demand?
So again, coming back to communication is really, really important. And there's an expectation that people want. So if they're putting an inquiry in, they want a rapid response back on that as well. And I don't blame them, because we would be exactly the same as well. But we've got some clever systems in the background, that automated systems that will then call that customer, so we can get to that customer quicker, so their journey is better as well. That's probably the main one.
So we have a ongoing debate with clients about print and digital. So from your perspective, print, is it still necessary?
So for me, yes, it is. So print's relevant, digital's relevant. So I'm definitely sitting right on the fence there with that one.
Just a quick one. This podcast is brought to you by Antler Agency. If you'd like to discuss the sales and marketing or PR for your new homes, get in touch today.
But it's good though, because I think to get that insight, I think there's a lot of assumptions that are made either around the boardroom table or wherever, that all buyers are digital first. And from our point of view, we would always say it's target audience led, target market driven. If it's a development that's targeted at a younger demographic, then probably you can afford to make some bold decisions in terms of print. But if it's retirement or development of bungalows, then you probably want to make some fairly educated decisions about materials at that point.
What I do believe is that actually the people that want the print over and above anything else are the people that are the actual buyers. So at the point of I've reserved this and I'm buying that property, wouldn't it be really nice to have it for in 20 years to look back on, see that's what the house originally looked like? So we're certainly using print a lot less. We're not necessarily printing the brochures, but people still expect a brochure of some description. So yeah, there's certainly been a change. And there was quite a significant change post-COVID where people were not necessarily wanting to touch that brochure. So if anything, that just sped up that process. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing.
And what are the emerging technologies that you believe estate agents and house builders should be latching onto?
So there's obviously a lot of talk more recently about AI, which we're starting to touch on, and I'm having to go out of my comfort zone to look at.
Are there any ways you're using it that you'd be able to share?
Only that I've downloaded apps and
I'm
just trying to teach myself and talk to my daughter, who's 13, about how 13-year-olds use it. Other than that, that's my first big leap into AI. So, and that's me being brave. But I do think it's definitely going to be a part of our world in the future. How much it is, obviously no one quite knows yet. But yeah, I've certainly not gone to the way of using AI to print all of our brochures or use the words for our brochures. But it wouldn't surprise me if that was around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of interesting things coming that will positively improve your world. I mean, one of the tools that I've seen recently, which needs a huge amount of work on it still, is a virtual staging AI.
Yeah.
Where you can feed the photo in and say, theme it like this, I need this kind of furniture. And it wasn't good, but crikey, it was getting there.
Yeah.
And I think from an estate agent point of view, there's a lot of very, very interesting AI-driven tech coming that I think will transform the process.
I think anything that makes it quicker, makes it easier, and actually the outcome is you've got a better product, then absolutely it's worth looking at. If I think of... So where I've seen AI recently is over the weekend looking on LinkedIn, and I spotted there's an AI button on LinkedIn. I'm sure it's probably been there weeks, but I pressed it and I read it. I went, actually, that sounds good. oh no, it doesn't. So there has to be that element of a human looking at it to check that actually what it's interpreted as your words is what you mean.
That's really interesting, because I think there's a lot of talk about, you know, using AI for the menial tasks. So for example, writing that long property description that apparently everybody reads, but that actually is really important, you know, when you're seriously considering the house. But the problem is, when you leave that to AI, you're letting AI make the decisions. And I think it can have a flipping good shot. You know, AI is all reliant on the prompt that it's given for now, but it certainly needs a human to go over it. But if it can, you know, from an efficiency point of view, if that can save 20-30% of someone's time in a role, you can then spend that, you know, in other areas where it's more important.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, really, is where there is so much more in terms of what you do as an estate agent now. It's, you know, even if I think back 20 years ago, your two biggest forms of outreach were Right Move, but let's be honest, that was still emerging, and because not everyone had a computer. We had one computer per office, and that was the manager's computer, and the second form was the newspaper, or they were the main two. And then obviously the window, we used to go and change the window display and just rotate some of the properties, and that used to be done once a week as well. So it's anything that will save time will certainly help, because the guys in the branches are incredibly busy without question, and there's just so much more that they do now, and so many other ways of people communicate. I think actually going back then, the phone was the communication tool, or people walking into the office, and possibly the odd fax from a solicitor and car lease companies.
When was the last time you had a fax?
We haven't got a fax machine plugged in now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the really interesting thing, I got sick to death of AI a while ago, and have become very, very interested in it again, because you have to be, I think. And I think what I've found fascinating is there's this real concern about job losses as a result of AI, and, you know, how's that going to impact on the workforce? But for your average business, actually the opportunity is quite the opposite. You know, if you improve efficiency by using AI, why would you then right now cull your workforce? Because actually, if you can have a workforce that's efficient, then you can be, an AI can make you 20-30% more efficient. Why wouldn't you keep the workforce you've got and make them more efficient, therefore improve productivity? And I think that's the, from a estate agent point of view, I suppose that's the big opportunity. And for house builders as well, you know, how do you implement AI, not with a view to reduce headcount, but with a view to increase productivity and efficiency of your headcount? Because then that allows you to go head and shoulders above probably what everyone else is doing at the moment.
I think AI, in terms of some industries, there might be some worries over job loss, but in the industry we're working in, to the crux of it, someone still, if they want to view a house, they can't view a house with AI. They view a house with an individual. I do believe that it will improve efficiency, and it would just be interesting to see how we use that moving forward. But as something simply like helping to produce a short description or a long description, if an individual necessarily struggles with that side, then actually it's gonna assist with that. And it's gonna, you know, they can then work on dialing out, work on booking more viewings, all the types of things those traditional good quality estate agents do.
So you can't see virtual reality and people buying the houses remotely becoming the future anytime soon?
So I think it would be wrong to say that isn't going to play a part, and we'd be naive to think that. But like many of these things that have come along, that have actually, they formed part of what we do. And the way I'd sort of describe, when people say, you know, what do you do? We provide building blocks of marketing, whereas not necessarily just doing AI is going to work, or virtual reality is going to work, not necessarily just putting it in the office window is going to work. But when you add all of those things together, you've made the most of that, essentially that outreach, and you've cast the net as far as you possibly can in terms of marketing. And that's really what our job is to do, is to put it in front of as many people as possible, whether they're thinking about moving or not. And that's why, even coming back to the first question about just stick it on the Right Move, Right Move will help, but it's not the be all and end all, that's for sure. Another example, just from this week with a housing association that I've been, so I call it pleasantly persisting, or some people may say nagging, to use us. And they got stuck with one unit. So not the biggest site in the world for us, but a real opportunity to prove to that housing association how we can add value. And that one unit that they've had, which is shared ownership, has been available for 5 months. But yet we've given it to one of our teams. They've put it online, but they've sold it within a day. And that was through calling out. And what all they did essentially is they called out through people that have viewed other shared ownerships that weren't quite right. I booked them to go and view it, and they've ended up buying it. But that property's been all right move for 5 months.
What do you think the future of estate agency looks like?
For me, it's still high street branches, but with those high street branches having support as well. And I suppose that's why I've been blessed to have that for 20 years. So I've only ever worked for Sequence, Fox & Sons, Alan Harris over that period of time. So and for me, it's still those branches and the branch network are so important, and it's always been about team. Yes, there is definitely a place for them, and if you see some of our offices in terms of the footfall is quieter than others, but you only need to sit in so Southampton London Road, for example, and that door, that is a revolving door of customers coming in and out, so there still clearly is a demand to have high street offices.
So you're still getting walk-ins from people that are saying I'm looking for X.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, quite significant numbers. So, and we get quite probably, say that example in that office, you get a lot of people walking in asking for rented accommodation, but it still surprises me now how many people are coming in and asking for property advice, or they've got a house or flat in this particular location and asking, you know, how much is it worth? So coming back to, and we're talking about AI and bits like that. So there's one of the most common questions you get asked is how much is my house worth? And there is platforms you can go to see that. But some of those figures on there are vastly out and sometimes under and sometimes significantly over. So you still need estate agents for things like that. And the other question, and it normally gets asked if I'm out drinking with some friends, and it's, what's the market doing?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Where's the market at? And again, that's something that still needs a personal opinion on it as well, based on how experience.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think the general public still have an overriding desire to understand, even if they're not planning to sell, just to understand what's going on in the market, to understand how is that impacting.
And you can understand why, because for most people like me, your home's your biggest asset, isn't it? So actually, you can understand why people would want to know what the market's doing, because there's that hope that you're going to turn around and say, yeah, prices are still increasing. But certainly for this year, we've seen some really positive results already. So we're hoping that carries on.
You're saying this February's been your best?
Yeah, so yeah, February's been our best result in 2 years, which obviously we're really pleased with. But that is as a result of the hard work from the branches as well, and the team that I work with.
A very good sign of hopefully the months and years that are to follow.
Yeah, hope so. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to hear more about the sales and marketing of new homes, don't forget to hit subscribe today.